Well, good morning, everybody. Now, I know it's the usual thing for a visiting preacher to say, it's really good to be here with you this morning, but I can say it from my heart because I do feel that. You know, I love this church. It's my second time here. I came in October, as some of you remember. But I love that this church is one which is balanced. It's one which is hot on the word. It's a church that blesses Israel, and we know that they will be blessed. It's a church that seeks the Holy Spirit and his filling and his leading. And it's a church where I feel very much at home. So thank you very much for having me this morning. Why don't we just pray as we open up God's word together. Lord, we thank you for this morning. I thank you for this morning, personally. And we thank you that you are a great God. Lord, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus, on that mission, Lord, which had him live that life, that perfect life, and to teach, yes, and to work miracles, yes, but to go to the cross, and to not end there, but to be raised to life again. And Lord, to be seated with you now at your right hand. Lord, we thank you for your great kindness and your mercy towards us. Lord, we are so up and down. And those of us who've been Christians for a long time, Lord, we mess things up so often. But we thank you for your grace. And Lord, it's been the sentiment of people here. And I agree too that we believe that you want to do something here this morning. And we pray for that. Lord, I ask for myself that you would help me be humble. And as you've given us this wonderful part of your word that we're going to look at this morning, that you would show me just what it is that you would have us to learn from it. Lord, we pray for words for each of us this morning, myself included, and for hearts that will respond to you. So may you be lifted up in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I've come from a little church in Biddulph, which is on the outskirts of Stoke-on-Trent, and a lovely reference to Stoke this morning. And unfortunately, my poor planning meant that I was away, and also the other elder was away, so we had no leadership. So, oh, great, okay. So I had one of the men there to lead the service, and he contacted me this morning, sent me a message as I was driving up the M6, saying, my dad passed away this morning. I'm not going to be able to be here. This was a surprise to me. I didn't realise how unwell he was. He was okay, but then he's not here anymore. I don't need to tell you this, you know, but life is so unsteady, isn't it? You know, you can be doing so well, and then just in a moment, everything can change. Whether that be some sort of accident or bereavement or change at work or in your family, everything can change. But we heard what the kids were taught this morning, didn't we? And it was held up that the sand and the rock. We're thankful that our God is a rock, aren't we? Yes. He's immovable. I went to Llandudno yesterday and we climbed a very big rock, the Great Orme, and it's not for shifting. The waves might bash on it, but it's solid. Our God is a rock and he can never be shaken. But our God can be moved. He can't be shaken, but he can be moved. And we're going to see that this morning. So if you'd open up your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 1. We'll see what the Lord would have us to learn today. So we're in Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. Verse 40. We'll read down to the end of the chapter. Mark 1, verse 40. Now a leper came to him, Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. And we trust that the Lord would add his blessing to his word. This is where a leper meets the Lord. This part in Mark's gospel, it comes after Jesus's announcement to the people of Israel. He's baptized in the water, and the Holy Spirit comes upon him. He's sent into the wilderness to be tempted, and then he comes back. And we have a wonderful day from verses 14 down to verse 34 of Mark 1. It's all one day where Jesus has called some of his close disciples to service, and then he's gone into the synagogue and preached. He's cast out a demon. He's gone back to Peter's house and cured his mum-in-law, and then all the town has come together to him to be healed. Massive day. Then the next day, early in the morning, he's seeking God in prayer. And like Billy said, fundamental things. Early in the morning, he could have slept, but instead, what's he do? He seeks his Father. And he says, you know, I could stay here in Capernaum, but I've got to go on. And as he's going on, that's where he meets this leper. And I'm sure the leper was thankful that Jesus went on. But let's look today at four things. We're going to see the leper's case, what was wrong with him, the leper's call, the Lord's compassion, and the Lord's commission as well to him. So the leper's case, what's wrong with this man? What is leprosy? It's something that we're not that familiar with. It's something that over 100 people between 2000 and 2010 in the UK were diagnosed with, but it had been missed because leprosy is so rare. What is it? It's known today as Hansen's disease. A lot of us are familiar with that title. And today there's about 200,000 people in the world that have Hansen's disease. I'm going to read a little bit about what this disease does. It begins as small red spots on the skin. But before too long, the spots get bigger and start to turn white with a shiny or a scaly appearance. The spots soon spread over the body and the hair begins to fall out. First from the head, then even from the eyebrows. As things get worse, fingernails and toenails become loose. They start to rot and eventually fall off. Then the joints of the fingers and toes began to rot and fall off piece by piece. Gums begin to shrink and they can't hold the teeth anymore, so each tooth is lost. Leprosy keeps eating away at the face until the nose and the palate and even the eyes rot. And the leper wastes away until he or she dies. Leprosy can attack the nerve trunks, and this is what it often does. So the infected area loses all sensation. And you'd only realize that this has happened to you when maybe you're leaning over a candle and the flame's touching you, but you can't feel it because the sensation has been taken away. It's called anesthetic leprosy. There's no feeling where there ought to be pain. And to top it all off, there's a smell of rotting flesh. Leprosy is a horrible condition. And if you turn to Luke chapter 5, it's a parallel account to what we read in Mark 1. It gives us a few more details. And specifically this in verse 12 of Luke 5. Luke 5 and verse 12. And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was what? Full of leprosy saw Jesus. And then he speaks to him and he begs him. So this man is in the late stages of leprosy. He's not just lost his fingernails. He is down to the bone. He's a man who has got no hope. What is his case? This leper's case is a hopeless case. But that's physically. How about ceremonially as well? You see, in Leviticus chapter 13, that's the very center chapter of the central book of the Law of Moses. It gives the way in which a priest could diagnose someone who's got leprosy. You know, maybe he's just got an itch. Maybe he's allergic to something. Or maybe it's leprosy. And it spells out how to do that, and it talks about how the spot is, what colour the hairs are, etc. But if it is discovered that it is leprosy, what does the leper have to do? Let's turn there. Leviticus 13 and verse 44. Leviticus 13, verse 44. If it is discovered that this person has all the symptoms, then in verse 44 it says, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His sore is on his head. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his moustache and cry, unclean, unclean. And he shall be unclean. And the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean. And he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. What's the repeated word there? Unclean. He shall be unclean. This man, he has to go around pronouncing his own doom, his own sorrow, his own losses. And he says, whenever he sees somebody in the distance, he has to say, unclean, unclean, as he goes around, pronouncing again and again what he knows is going to be his inevitable end, uncleanness to death. But what else happened to him there? He tore his clothes, yes. But he was to dwell alone, it says in verse 46. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Let's take a man, maybe he's in his 30s, he's got some small children, he's married, he's got his business. And then he notices something, some spots maybe on his arm or perhaps on his neck. And he just keeps tab on them. And then they start to change colour and they grow. And he's worried, but he puts it off. But then the inevitable, and it just grows and grows. He has to see the priest. The priest checks him out and says, I'm sorry, you're a leprous man, you're unclean. This man has to leave his family. He can't see them again. He can't come within speaking distance of them, separated from them. Shouting unclean, alone, ostracized, facing the inevitable, which is death. Socially as well. You know, there was a law, you know how the rabbis put on all sorts of laws? Well, it was said that you had to keep at least 6 feet away from a leper. At least 6 feet. Or if the wind blew from his direction, at least 100 feet from him. There's no way that you could touch this man. He couldn't speak to anyone, or he couldn't even receive or return a greeting. He's got no interaction with people. And in this day, in Jesus' time, leprosy is seen as the direct stroke of God, of his displeasure, of his judging for special sins. Do you know in the Middle Ages, leprosy was common too? And if somebody was found to be a leper, applying sort of Mosaic law, the Catholic priest would come out. And he would actually read over the man who was found to be a leper, the burial service. That is how certain it was that this man, his fate is just to be buried. He's the walking dead, this man. And this is the man who walks up to Jesus. He's got no hope, has he? None at all. He's stigmatized. He's not able to be touched. This is the man. You can see his need, can't you? You can see why he just comes and does what he does to Jesus. He approaches him. He kneels down to him. He implores him If you're willing, you can make me clean. Do you know somebody like that? Do you know somebody who's separated? Who maybe through their own action, their own wrongdoing, or through no fault of their own, is separated. Nobody wants to come near them. Nobody wants to touch them. Maybe that person is you, or has been you. You know, this leprosy as well, it pictures something else. It starts small. And like that man that we thought about, you might be tempted to ignore it. Like we sometimes are, you know, you get a cough and you think, nobody likes going to the doctors, do we? We always think we're going to get better. Maybe they would think that too. I can ignore this. It'll go away. Just to gross you out even more this morning, because I haven't already, I have a wart on my hand and I've tried to ignore it for a long time. And I thought, enough's enough. Got to zap it. So if you do shake my hands, just be careful. But we try and ignore these things, don't we? Maybe he did. Try to ignore it. It's a type of sin, isn't it? You know, you've got that behaviour. I've got that behaviour, maybe. That we think, I slipped up, but it's okay. It'll sort itself out. I can ignore it. It's only something small. It's only like a small spot or something. I can hide it up. I can cover it. Nobody will be able to see it. But then it grows. And remember what leprosy does? It takes away the sensitivity of the nerves as well. So you might be coming, you might step on a thorn or something in these days, and it goes into your foot, and you don't realize until a few days later you see, oh, that's a mess. It's taking away your sensitivity. Friends, sin does that for us. And may the Lord search our hearts to find if there is anything in us. It acts as an anesthetic. It says, look, there's nothing wrong with you. Like, you're not being hurt by this at all. But it spreads. And maybe we try and hide what it's doing to us. How do you know what sort of things that people do as they try and hide a life that's been eaten away? You know, maybe they put on that smile. They crack all those jokes. They might be the people who throw all the parties and they're the life and soul of the party, but actually inside there's something going on that they don't want to show. They go on all the fancy holidays. They buy all the stuff. But inside they've been eaten away. Sin too isolates us from our loved ones. We all know those people in our families through one reason or another. Sin has caused a separation, as an isolation. And it isolates from God. This man, you know, he couldn't come near people, let alone come to the synagogue, for example, or to the temple. The Bible says that in our natural state, if we haven't come to put our trust in Christ for the forgiveness of our sin, what are we? We are dead in trespasses and sins. We are the walking dead. We are those lepers. I am that person apart from Jesus Christ, the walking dead, no hope, spiritually separated from God. Read the burial service over me now. You know, this leper, he knew his case was hopeless. That's just to give you some of the background. So he's got one last ditch attempt. What does he do? What does he do? Mark chapter 1. Picture him in your mind. Imagine yourself as this man. A leper came to him, Mark 1 verse 40, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Friends, this is desperation, isn't it? He's on his knees. He's saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I've got nowhere else to go. Maybe he's had to come through people throwing stones at him, pushing him away to get there. Yet he's come to Jesus and said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. It was referenced today about one of the Chaibot girls that's being carried away. And in 2 Kings 5, there's a story where the Syrians come and they raid Israel and they take a servant girl. Do you remember the story? They take a servant girl up to Damascus, the capital of Syria, and she's there serving the general, I think it is, of the army. The general is a leper. But that little servant girl, she doesn't just give up or think, well, God can protect me. She's a witness there. And she said, oh, that my master would go down to Israel because there's a prophet there and he could sort you out. And she does, and he comes. But then there's a letter that's sent by the king of Syria to Israel, and he says, it's like a covering letter. So I'm sending my top dog down to you. By the way, he's got leprosy. Please heal him. Yours sincerely, king of Syria. And this is the king of Israel's enemy. And he says, who does he think I am? Does he think I'm God and I'm able to heal this man? He's just trying to pick a fight with me. They knew only God could heal this leprosy. There was no medicine that could do it. In these days, there was no expectancy that people would be cleansed of leprosy. Look, just go out in your leper colony. We'll forget about you. We might bring you some bundles of food, and then that's it. No expectancy that they would be cleansed. But that doesn't faze the leper, does it? Maybe there's no expectancy in your life, perhaps, or in society, that thing which is niggling away at you, which has been there for so long, can be sorted. Maybe you've just become accustomed that this is something I've got to live with. It's sinful, yes, but there's nothing that can be done about it. There's nothing that you can do about it, correct? But there's everything that Jesus can do about it. What does he say to Jesus, this man? If you are willing, you can make me clean. You know, he doesn't question Jesus' power, does he? He doesn't say, if you're powerful enough and if you're willing, you can make me clean. No, he doesn't doubt that at all. If you are willing, you can make me clean. He's got nothing to commend himself to Jesus. He says, look, I know you can, but I just doubt whether you would want to heal someone like me, someone so repulsive like me. If you're willing, Jesus, you can make me clean. He just throws himself on his mercy. We must do the same. We must. You know, for those of us who are Christians, again, those things that, those besetting sins, we read about them in the scriptures, don't we? That lust, that secret thing that you're hiding away. That thing that everybody knows about, but they're just accustomed to. And you know it's wrong, but you're in your pride, you're not willing to let go of it. We must come to him and say, I know this is wrong. I don't have the strength in myself. But Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And if you're willing, I'd say Jesus is willing. I'd say he was willing here, and he always will be willing. I'd say if you're here and you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, you haven't asked him to save you and forgive you of your sin and to give you eternal life, and you've heard the message a lot of times and you've become just accustomed to it, friends, we have leprosy. We need him. And he is willing to cleanse you. But what does the Lord do? Seeing the lepers call and cry upon Jesus. But what does the Lord do? What's his response? Verse 41. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. So you can imagine the sight. He's there. He smells. He's in the late stage of leprosy. The crowd has parted around him. This repulsive man has come. If we saw this person, we would be moved with disgust. You know, you think about the person who's on the street. They are down and out. They're lying in their own sick. And we're tempted to have an attitude of disgust. But what is Jesus' response? The Lord's compassion. Because what does he say? Well, what does he do? He stretches out his hand, touches him and says, I am willing, be cleansed. Jesus cleansed him. We've heard this morning, lots of times that word cleansed. My ears were tuned into it, maybe yours were. Cleansed. Not healed. He was healed. You know, maybe all his fingers were gone, but it says immediately he was healed. Yes, fingers come on. Wow, a miracle. But even more important than his physical healing was him being cleansed. How was he cleansed? How was he cleansed? Just have a look in the verses for yourself. How was he cleansed? You say, well, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. He touched him. But that isn't actually, according to these verses, how he was cleansed. Verse 42 says, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. It was Jesus' word that cleansed this leper. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to your word. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, God's word has power. We've been encouraged to take part in this evangelism explosion, taking God's word and being able to share it. Do it, because it is powerful. You know, you've had that situation in your life where God's just brought up a scripture to you and it has been just what you needed. And you've responded to that and you thought, Lord, it's bigger than me, but I can take this by faith and I'm going to trust it. And he cleanses us by his word. But what then was the purpose of Jesus' touch? Why would Jesus even bother to touch him? He could have shouted to him, be cleansed, and he was. But he didn't, did he? He was moved with compassion. He stretched out his hand and touched him, and then spoke to him. Our God can be and is moved. He is not high and aloof. He is high, but he's not aloof. The God of Islam, you know, he's a God who creates, he's powerful, la-di-da. But he's not personal. You can't have any intimate dealings with Allah. You know, he's just high off in the clouds somewhere, supposedly. Our God is a God of compassion who is moved. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Hebrews paraphrased says, he can be moved. And he sees those situations in your family and he's moved by them. And in your work and he's moved by them. And in Ainsdale and he's moved by them. There's a story about a Catholic priest who became a missionary. He became a missionary to Hawaii. And you think, whoa, I would love to be a missionary to Hawaii. Sure, sign me up, get me on a plane. It's in the 1800s though, so he probably went by boat. And his name was Father Damien. He was a missionary to Hawaii, yes, but he was a missionary to an island in Hawaii that was only inhabited by one sort of person, and you've guessed it, lepers. Okay, so he goes and he tries to convert them to the Catholic religion, and he's ineffective. He's there for about 10 years. There's no response. Nobody comes really and stays at his church or does whatever. And then he's despondent and he gets back on the boat. And as he's leaving, I can't remember what the detail is, but he does something that should have hurt him, but he realised that it didn't hurt. And he understands then that he has contracted this leprosy that he's been surrounded by. So then in that moment, what do I do? He goes back and picks up where he started and continues his work. Then knowing that, hey, this man isn't just from the outside, he's just preaching at us, he doesn't know what we go through. But knowing that he has been touched with what we've been touched with, they responded. And this man is venerated in the Catholic Church, and I'm not trying to commend their teaching, of course, but you get the point. He was touched, he had compassion, he understood. He became one of them. How much more Jesus? Forget Father Damien. How much more Jesus? You know, he could have stayed there in heaven and that would have been fine. But he humbled himself, took on the form of a servant, and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross, for us. Friends, he knows. He knows. And it's through that cross that we can be cleansed. We've heard mentioned the blood, and it is the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. We can be washed clean. Now, your sin, that thing which you try and hide away and think it's not important, it is, because God must judge it. And if we are without Christ, when we stand before him, he must punish us in hell. But Jesus took our punishment, death in our place. And his blood is a ransom for us. We can be cleansed. Do you know, there's nothing too shameful for us to come and bring to Jesus. Even us who sit nicely in church and we know all the songs, we even know the songs when the words aren't on the screen. And unfortunately, we can have a pride built up in us, can't we? It's the fear of man, as was mentioned by Billy. We need the fear of God. There's nothing too shameful and defiling that we cannot come and find compassion in Jesus Christ today. Nothing. This man was repugnant, but he found compassion with Jesus. Even if it's self-inflicted, think about the prodigal son, and he wastes all of his father's goods, and maybe you feel like that today, and you've gone away and you've squandered what's been given you. But the father ran out to meet that boy, didn't he? And embraced him and kissed him and gave him that ring and the cloak and sandals. Nothing is too much for us to come to him. But maybe there's some others who you know who are lepers. You know, the addicted, those who are separated from their family, those who are mentally ill, those who've been locked up and they're in and out of prison, those who are involved in gangs, the sexual criminal, the down and out, those who are of, you know, who are transgender, who are homosexual, who we might look down on. Jesus is moved with compassion for these, just as Jesus moved with compassion for you and for me. But then the Lord's commission, and those closing few verses. It's a bit of a curveball that's thrown, because verse 43, it says, "And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them.' However, he went out and he began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction." The Lord gave this man a commission. Yeah, we've seen his compassion, but he gave him a commission. What was that? Something strange, something against the grain, you might think. But Jesus, he didn't come to destroy the law, but to what? To fulfill it. Coming after Leviticus chapter 13 is Leviticus chapter 14. Well done. And in Leviticus chapter 14, it's the ceremony for the pronouncing clean of a leper. It isn't the magical formula how to cleanse a leper, but it's what to do when a leper has been cleansed. So you take various sacrifices, and I'm not going to go into it now for time's sake, but you'd eventually be restored to your house and then to the temple. Why did Jesus tell him to do this? Because he came to fulfill the law. Jesus is Yeshua HaMashiach. He is the Jewish Messiah, yes? He wasn't just going to blow it all away. But what did Jesus say? What was his reason? He strictly warned him not to tell anyone, but to go to the priest. And he says to do so at the end of verse 44. Why? As a testimony to them. Can you think of the other lepers in the Bible? I've cheated because I've looked them up. But the first one that you see is Moses. So he's out in the backside of the desert. God commissions him. And Moses saying, "Look, I'm not able to go out and do evangelism explosion. I'm a man with, you know, a stutter. What am I going to do? What if the people of Israel don't listen to me saying that God's come? God says, well, throw your stick down, become a serpent, take it up. But then he says, put your hand in your cloak, take it out, and it's leprous. Put it back in, and it's cleansed. And the cleansing of Moses' leprosy, when he presented it to the leaders of Israel, convinced them that, yes, Yahweh God has spoken to this man. Naaman, that man we mentioned earlier, he was cleansed when he dipped in the Jordan seven times. And he said that now I know that there is no other God except the one who's here in Israel. John the Baptist, when he's in prison, he sends to Jesus and says, are you the Messiah or should we be looking for somebody else now? And Jesus said, look, go and tell him, among other things, that lepers are cleansed. That would be a convincing thing to him that the Messiah has come. But this chapter in Leviticus 14 would have been a dusty chapter. It was never used. Why? Because lepers were never cleansed. So imagine this man, he goes to the priests and he says, I've been cleansed. And he says, you what? Yeah, remember me, I came to you 10 years before and you said I'm a leper. So I looked through the books and yeah, that's the man. And they don't know what to do because we've never had to do this. So they have to go and flip back to Leviticus and say, what do we do? This would be such a sign to them, such an out of the ordinary thing to them that, hey, this Jesus is someone special. Jesus sent him to the priests so that he would be a testimony to them. You know, God calls us to do the opposite now, doesn't he? He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whose lives have been cleansed, who've been forgiven of sin, who've got hope now for eternity, who've got a purpose for their life, and they don't just have to do whatever the friends say and it leads to nothing. We say so if we have that life in Jesus, if he's freed us from something. But God does still call us sometimes to do things that are against our thinking. This man, he thought, Jesus, why have you told me to do that? I'm just going to tell everyone. Sometimes he calls us to do things against what we might think. Or sometimes things that are inconvenient. You know, this man had to go from Galilee to Jerusalem and then back. It's a long way. Why? Because he's got a bigger picture in mind. And I'd encourage us, as we have a testimony, if we have been cleansed, to go out. You know, maybe there is that priest down in Jerusalem that you need to go and speak to and share your story of being cleansed with, that they would be caused to think too. But as we draw to a close, I'm just going to let us have a little bit of quiet, if that's okay, Jeff. And we're going to just come before the Lord now and confess any things that we need to him. We're going to think about those people who we see maybe on a weekly basis in the street or in our family, that person who we haven't picked up the phone to in years, who is isolated. We're going to pray for them, that the Lord would help us to reach out to them. And for those who might feel ashamed or embarrassed by that thing, which is still an issue, we're going to come to the Lord together and seek his cleansing because he is willing. Amen. Should we just have a time together? Maybe there's somebody here as well who has not yet come to Jesus for that first time and asked to be cleansed of the sin and to know new life, and we invite you to come too. To confess, we have nothing. We've got nothing to commend ourselves to God, but we believe that Jesus is willing to cleanse us, and he's able to because of his death on our behalf and is being raised to life. Trust him. Ask him to forgive you. To give you new life. Lord, we say with the psalmist, search me, O God, try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me, but then lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, we thank you for your great compassion towards us, that you cannot be shaken, but you can be moved. And Jesus, you were and you are moved today. Lord, we confess that we hold on to things and we try and cover up things that are not pleasing to you. Free us from these, we pray. We thank you that in your death and resurrection there's the cleansing, but there's also the power to be free from that. Lord, help us to walk in that, to walk in the Spirit, that we may not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And Lord, we pray for those who are lepers in our society and who are lepers in our sphere of influence. Lord, give us that same compassion for them, that we could share the love of Christ with them. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the individuals of this church. Lord, build this church up. Grow it. Conform it to the image of your dear Son. And may they be effective as they seek to win this community for you, Jesus, in these days in which we live. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to not just remember these things and be thankful for them on a Sunday, but as we go through this week, Lord, may we be changed in light of what we've heard by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you.